Welcome to Ask an Attorney. The law office is now open. If you have a legal question about Florida law, give us a call. Our toll-free number, 800-969-9352.
Good morning. Welcome to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. Hour number two, hour number one was from 6 to 7, and hour number two is from 8 to 9. So you're listening to a live show on January 31st, 2021, 8:07 in the morning. The law office is open. If you have a question or a problem, I'd be glad to talk to you and try to help you and get you pointed in the right direction, or maybe just give you a different opinion or a different idea about how to proceed. You have a toll-free number to call the show. It's 800-969-9352. That's 800-969-9352. And phone lines are open for your question. It can be just about anything. Wills, trust, probate, guardianship, power of attorneys, healthcare surrogates. Guardianship can be about criminal law, family law. Personal injury can be just about any area of law. I'd be more than glad to come in to help you, give you a little peace of mind, talk about legal issues. We had several calls this morning about guardianship. What happens when a person who becomes unreasonable refuses help? Paranoid about just about everything was one of the questions this morning. And this was a mother. Doesn't trust anyone, doesn't want any help, doesn't think she needs any help. What can you do? Well, I've had many client meetings with a parent and child, or a child and parents, or children and one parent, trying to talk reasonableness to a parent. So we get them into a meeting and we basically just decide, you know, if you don't give someone the power of attorney to help you, you're going to be declared incompetent. We have a doctor's note here, and usually I'd suggest that the children take the children or talk to the family doctor. Get something in writing that the doctor strongly suggests the person receive help, either with a power of attorney. And the idea being, if the parent refuses to give someone a power of attorney to help them, then, you know, most likely the only way to really help them is to have them declared incompetent and go through a guardianship proceeding. And if the parent doesn't give a child a power of attorney, then the guardian could be anyone appointed by the court. It could be a stranger. So, you know, what would the parent choose? To have a family member that they know and hopefully trust to take care of things, or whether or not you want the court to appoint a guardian? All of that can be avoided basically with a durable power of attorney, healthcare surrogate, and a trust to manage the money. You have any questions along those lines? What to do with an unreasonable parent who refuses to receive help or maybe even sign a document? That happens a lot more than you probably think about. Toll-free number to call the radio show, though, and any type of legal question is 800-969-9352. That's 800-969-9352. Phone lines are open, and I'll be more than glad to assist if I can. One of the other things about power attorneys is, you know, who deals with, like, Social Security? Who deals with... The power of attorney is a vital document when planning for Medicaid. When an elderly parent goes into a nursing home, they need to have given someone the power to be able to plan for Medicaid, the power to reposition assets to make them non-countable and make them such that you can maximize government benefits and protect assets for your legacy. And protecting assets, protecting assets to guard against nursing home and medical care. I mean, medical care, nursing home care can wipe out an estate very, very quickly. So if you have any questions along those lines, we had questions this morning that in the early 6 o'clock hour. Actually, the guardianship question concerned parents who were victims of fraud. I mean, that happens too. Let's go to Michael in Tampa. Hey, Michael.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing good, and you?
I'm all right. Got a question for you. It involves my union, my labor union.
Okay.
Probably for the last year and a half, 2 years, I've been subject to harassment, intimidation, retaliation, and sexual harassment by leaders of my union.
Okay, well, sorry to hear that. So what I could do is possibly give you a labor law attorney. If you want to email me, I'll send you a labor law attorney to where you can discuss the matter with them and see what kind of rights you have, you know, to prevent that, or what the best course of action would be. So if you want to email me, it's just simply Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com.
Okay, I'll shoot you an email.
All right, Michael. All right. Thanks for calling. You're listening to Ask an Attorney. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The law office is open. If you have a legal question, you have a toll-free number, 800-969-9352. That's 800-969-9352, and be more than glad to help you. And there are some areas of law that I don't practice. If I don't practice in an area, I tell you almost right away that I know I can get you help. Well, I'll try my best to get you some help with an attorney that does specialize in those type things. But that type of labor discrimination law is not one of my practice areas. We had a question this morning about a lady who called that her husband had passed away and she got a stimulus check and whether or not she had to return it. And the answer, of course, is yes. You get a check made out to a deceased person that probably shouldn't have been cashed, and you definitely could just just the way to do that is just return the check with a little note that the person had passed away. We had another question this morning, early at 6 o'clock, about a lady who had co-signed for a car loan. And, of course, when you co-sign on a car loan because you have money and can get a loan and the other party doesn't have money or maybe even have a job and are not making payments, even half of the payments, what can you do? Well, I think the car title was or, where either one could sell. So of course the answer would be to find a buyer and sell the car and pay off the loan and get from out from the mortgage if you can. Hey, if you have a legal question, give me about any area of law, you have a toll-free number, 800-969-9352. Phone lines are open, 800-969-9352. It is January the 31st. You are listening to a live show. I'll be glad to help you. Let's go to Yvonne in Pinellas Park. Hey, Yvonne.
Good morning. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing good.
My question involves something that there's something I can do about it now, but I wanted to know if what my mother did was legal. 4 years ago, my brother died, and I was helping my mother through the funeral and Drew's paperwork and so forth. And when we went to Wells Fargo, we found out that he had an account, a stock fund account, and there was roughly about $80,000 worth of stocks in there. And the Wells Fargo representative told us in the bank that he did have a beneficiary form, and there were four names on it. And at first, the banker didn't want to let me know who the four names were, but eventually he did. We showed him the death certificate of my brother and so forth. But anyway, I told him, are the names blah, 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 blah. And he said, yes, those are the names. And then the banker got up and walked away to do something. And my mother turned to me and said, oh, if you think you're getting any of this money, think again. And you know, she was one of the beneficiaries. And my two brothers and I were also. So we hired an estate attorney. And he came over to my mother's house. And we told the estate attorney about this, the monies in this account and the beneficiary form. And he said that my mother was the executor of Drew's will and that she could do whatever she wanted to with that money. She didn't have to honor my brother's wishes. And I'm just wondering, I'm curious, was that the correct answer? But, I mean, was that the legal thing to do?
Well, you know, that would not have been my answer, because my answer would have been, if there are four beneficiaries on an account, those beneficiaries trump whatever the will says, and it doesn't matter who the personal representative is. Personal representative, answer would have been, only deals with assets in the deceased person's name without a beneficiary.
Right. She just didn't honor my brother's wishes, and she
did she wind up with the money?
And according to her attorney, the attorney that we hired, he said that was legally her right to do that.
Well, did she wind up with all the money?
Oh, yes.
Well, I don't know how that would have worked, because the bank's responsibility would have been to write four checks out to the different beneficiaries, not give the money to the personal representative.
Well.
So there's something missing in this whole equation somehow or another. I don't know if the mother was first and the three kids, is that 100% the mother? And if she's not...
No, it's 25%, 25%, 25%, and 25%.
Well, I think the bank would be liable if they did anything different. How long ago did all this happen?
This four years ago. It happened 4 years ago. And, at this point, we're not going to do anything. And honestly, my mother needs the money at this point anyway. So, but the thing was, I think just my mother didn't do the moral thing. She just didn't do the moral thing. But, you know, had we
There's something missing to the story, though.
It would have helped her out financially anyway, but...
Yeah.
That's kind of what happened, and I don't think we're going to stir up a pot here, but that's kind of what happened, and I thought, along with you, that you know, like you say, that it should have been split, but according, I'm not going to give you the attorney's name that we hired, but he said differently. He said, you're the executor of the will here, and you don't have to do that if you don't want to.
The will only controls what's in the deceased person's name without a beneficiary. So I don't have a clue as to how, you know, I've done lots of these, and the bank's always going to give the money to the four beneficiaries. It doesn't matter who the personal representative is. That's a moot point.
Well, you know, shame on my two brothers and me. I guess we should have pursued this. But then again, you know, she had lost her son, actually, to be honest. My brother committed suicide 4 years ago, and I don't think, you know, stirring up the pot there. And like I say, she needed the money, but she, you know, chose to do something else. But anyway, thank you for the information, sir. And I kind of thought
thanks
the answer. Hey, have a wonderful day.
You too. All right, phone lines are open. If you have a question, ask an attorney's name of the show. It's a live show where you call in with your legal questions. You have a toll-free number, 800-969-9352. Let's go to Sandy in St. Pete Beach.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hi. Okay, so I am the POA for my uncle, who's in a nursing home, and I've done all the Medicaid. He's on Medicaid. I have a LLC so that his assets are in that. I also, so when he gets his income from Social Security and his annuity from the Blue Cross Blue Shield, it comes into his checking account that I am not on, but I am POA. And then that money goes into the income-only account that gets sent to the nursing home, basically. That income-only, you know, is just for that.
Yeah, qualified income trust as well, yes.
Correct. Okay, so the regular checking account, you're only supposed to have for being Medicaid, you have to keep it under $2,000.
Right.
And the government now is sending stimulus checks to people that really shouldn't need it or shouldn't get it. So now it's going over, and if he gets more, it's going to go over more. And there, I keep asking, what can I buy for him? What can he use it for? And there's really nothing he can do at this point. And I just want to know, as being POA on the checking account, am I allowed to write a gift or a check to a niece or godchild and put on there that it's a gift from him?
No, a gift could possibly disqualify.
Yeah, is that legal?
Did you have an attorney help you with the Medicaid process?
Yes. And I was going to call him, but I actually did ask him, and they just said the best thing to do is to spend it on him. But I can't.
Yes, of course.
So,
well,
and if he dies, that money is, if he's BOA, I can't get that money out, correct? So I don't know what to do with that extra money in there.
Well, I know it's not that much money, but I would ask the attorney about a personal service contract, because that could be non-countable as well.
I do have that. I believe I have that also.
Well, you might be able to put that money into the personal service contract. That's what you need to discuss with the attorney.
Okay, put it into. So as far as being able to write a check to give to anybody.
Yeah, I wouldn't make a gift, because that could really mess things up and disqualify him for a month of Medicaid benefits.
And that's what I want to make sure
then
I don't
need to be stuck. So I bet I really discuss that with your Medicaid attorney and see if the money can be transferred to a personal service contract.
Okay.
You. Yeah, you could spend it on clothing he doesn't need or something. You could find up some reason to spend it for his benefit.
Well, and that's what I was thinking also, because, I mean, I'm actually stopping the store now because they said something about headset to be listening to music, but it doesn't, you know, go into hundreds of dollars.
Some electronic device
or, you know,
for music or CDs
so.
or videos or something. And there's some ways you can think of to send money, but, you know, and it might be not, if you already have a personal contract, personal service contract, ask the attorney if that can be transferred into that.
Okay.
All right.
All righty. Thanks for your help. Have
thank
a good day.
You. Let's go to Peter in Largo.
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hello.
Yeah. Yes,
I inherited a house in Largo about 11 years ago, and I have a contract on it to sell it. And I'm wondering what is. But I'm a resident of Maryland, so I'm wondering what is my tax liability on the money that I've earned on this house. Or gained?
Well, it'd be a capital gains tax on the value of the property from the date of death of the person you inherited it from. Date of death, it would have gotten a stepped up cost basis. And then you would pay a capital gains tax on the difference between 11 years ago date of death value versus today's value, minus improvements you might have made to the house and so forth.
Okay. Now, can I have that done in Maryland, or does it have to be done in
No, that's
in
a federal
Florida.
Tax. So yes, you can have it done in Maryland.
Okay. Hey, thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. All right. So you're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. Again, I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. I'm going to take a short break here in a few seconds. But if you want to call the show and get queued up for the next segment, which is right after the news, you have a toll-free number, which is 800-969-9352. That's 800-969-9352. You stay tuned for more of Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law.
This is Ask an Attorney on 970 WFLA.
All right, good morning. Welcome to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The law office is open. You have a toll-free number if you want to call the show at 800-969-9352. Let's go to Daniel in Largo. Daniel, you there?
Yes, good morning, Joe. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great, and you?
Very good, thank you. My question is, I talked to you earlier in the year. My sister passed away in Ohio, and I couldn't get up there, obviously. I was the executor and the beneficiary of her estate, which isn't large, but it was, you know, enough that I needed help. My son, who is in Ohio, you recommended that we had to get an Ohio attorney, did so. He became the beneficiary of the estate. He became the executor, excuse me. And he did some of the work and some of the... Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah. Okay, and he did some of the... Okay, are we clear, Joe?
Yeah, I keep hearing you. Don't just keep going. Okay. I hear you.
Okay, I had it on speaker. I took it off. So some of the work was able to be done by him. The retirement, she was a school teacher, and we left that in his name. A couple of things were left in my name. There was a couple of stock Oppenheimer funds and the house. The house, I was the recipient, and I did get the money from the house. He's taking care of some other. I've got some, the Oppenheimer funds that were sent directly to me. Now, I'm kind of wondering my liabilities. I'm 73. I haven't filed taxes in years because I have no other income other than Social Security and VA benefits. Liabilities that I'm going to have on the house and the Oppenheimer funds that I got.
Well, the personal representative, your son, has to do the final tax return for the estate, but the money that you got from the house is most likely non-taxable. In the financial accounts, the only tax would probably be the built-up interest or dividends generated by the account, not the account itself. You know, what's in the account.
So my tax liability should be limited with the house and the Oppenheimer funds then.
Yes, sir. Yeah, and the personal representative should have done a tax return for the estate unless they passed along the income and dividends and interest to you. But you can ask the personal, your son, if that's what he did.
Yeah, well, he's still doing the actual retirement money, and he's got the lawyer in Ohio who's doing those things. But I wondered because some of the house and the Oppenheimer funds, which still came to me, even though he had become the representative.
Well, that's just a job. His job was to give everything to you if you're the 100% beneficiary.
The personal representative is just three ways with him and.
Well, that's a gift. If it's 100% to you and you split it with him, that's a gift from you, basically. And the retirement account should have a beneficiary on it. And whoever was the named beneficiary would be the one who entitled that money. If that was you,
well, I was the beneficiary, but I had turned that over to him, and he's taking care of that, and he's doing the final, the probate. He's done all the probate up in Ohio.
Okay. Well, the attorney that's representing him should advise you on whatever tax implications there are in all of this. It might be some gifting. Did you disclaim the inheritance so he would be the next one in line? I mean, there are several options of how you that would hit.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. All right, so if you disclaimed it, then it's probably all the tax burden would be on him, on the retirement account.
Okay, that's kind of what we thought. But so the house really isn't going to be a tax burden on me.
No, sir, I got a stepped-up cost basis, and that
did come.
Yes, sir. They got a stepped-up cost basis that can go to you without tax.
Okay. Okay, Joe. So I probably should talk to his attorney up in Ohio as well, or let him do that kind of...
Yeah, just confirm with him there are no other taxes you'd be responsible for.
Okay. Thank you very much, Joe. I appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you for calling. You're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. If you'd like to be on the show today or ask a question, I can help you perhaps and maybe help other people that are listening with your legal question. And so you have a toll-free number to call the show at 800-969-9352. Let's go to Donna in Port Richey.
Hi.
Hi. What can I do for you today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing good. How can I help you?
Well, my husband died Christmas Eve,
and
it was
sorry.
A sudden thing, but we had a will and everything, but now that he has died suddenly, where am I obligated to notify? The bank seemed to know the next day, but it seems like he has a pension coming out of the state of Maryland, and I'm entitled to that, but do I have to let them know he's gone? And Social Security, do they know it already by computers? And the VA, he never took any benefits from the VA. He was in the Army in the 50s. And so I understand that there might be something there, and I'm just not sure where to move forward.
Well, I think the good strategy would be never to assume anybody knows anything and to provide everyone with a copy of the death certificate.
Okay.
Social Security is going to need a copy of a death certificate.
Okay.
The pension retirement accounts need a copy of the death certificate for you to become the beneficiary. Then they usually send you some paperwork with forms and so forth.
Okay.
So everybody needs to copy the death certificate. If you have joint accounts with your husband at the bank, you should take in a death certificate. They'll take his name off the account, and you'd be the sole owner. They'll change it to your Social Security number.
Okay.
You
and
follow
the
death certificate. The VA would need a copy of the death certificate, then you can apply for any benefits you'd be entitled to as a VA widow.
Well,
did he have a will? Did he have a last will and testament?
Oh, yes.
That should be filed with the court.
But, well, it should.
Yes, ma'am.
Would that through my lawyer?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, because I've left a message for him and he never called me back, and so I'm kind of circling around and figuring out what I need to do.
Well, you can always change attorneys. We you know, I'm not suggesting, I'm not trying to solicit you, but you know, you call your attorney and your attorney would usually file the will for you. And that's just a normal thing to do when a spouse dies. And they might want to tweak your will a little bit as well. You could talk to your attorney about that.
Okay, well, I inherit absolutely everything. There's no children or anything, so I hope I know that sometimes you have to go to the court for but I don't want to have to do that.
Yeah, well, if you've got everything, it wouldn't be any probate if you owned everything jointly and everything is yours now. So.
Okay. Well, then that sounds good. Thank you
Donna.
Your time and information. Have a good
one. Oh, my pleasure. You have a good Sunday.
Bye-bye.
Okay, thanks. You're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin. If you have a legal question, the law office is open for about another 13 minutes or so. You have a window here to call the show. The phone lines are open at 800-969-9352. Let's go to Tim in Tampa.
Hello.
Hey, Tim.
Hey, I have a question. My wife is the head of a trust. We recently sold a large piece of property out by the airport, and we contacted an accountant, and he said that the trust is not an entity, so when she made money, I made money. But my stance is, if the trust is an entity, they should file taxes separate than mine and her taxes. Is that correct?
Well, a trust created by a person uses their social security number, so it doesn't come become a different entity until death, when the trust becomes irrevocable, and then it becomes a different entity with a different tax number. But if you created a trust now, it would be your social security number, you and the trust would be the same entity. So if you and your wife file a joint return, then if she sold the property in her individual trust that used her social security number, you'd still continue to file a joint return, and the trust itself would not be a different entity because it used your wife's social security number.
Right. So my social security number doesn't even come into it. It's hers. Is that correct?
Well, do you and your wife file a joint return?
Yes. We did all the rest of the years.
Well, okay. Well, have your CPA look at the difference between filing a joint return and her filing, you both filing individual returns.
Okay.
But she and her trust are the same entity with the same social security number.
So I'm going to be responsible for, well, I say it's her income, but I'm going to be responsible no matter what. Is that correct?
No, sir. If your accountant tells you as you have tax advantages in her filing a separate return, then you both would file a separate return.
Oh, okay. Well, he's advising us to file a joint return because the taxes would be lower.
Okay. Well, she and her trust are the same entity, so it has the same social security number. So if your CPA is telling you you pay less taxes with a joint return, then go that way.
Yeah, it's a large amount of money, and I know that we're responsible for some taxes, but her being head of the trust, she dispersed money to other people. Now, the money she gave to other people, they're responsible for their own taxes. Is that correct?
Okay, well, this wasn't her own trust. She was a trustee of her parents' trust or something like that?
Yes.
Oh, I see. So you were telling me, I thought you were telling me that was her trust. Well, no, the trust was a different entity. If it was a parent's trust that died and she became the trustee, it would be a different entity with a different tax number. So the only part that an inheritance is generally not taxable unless there's built up income and interest in there, but that would be divided either. That would either be paid by the trust, or each beneficiary would have their portion of it taxed. And then if that's true, then the portion that she got that was taxed, since you're filing a joint return, would go onto your joint return, not the whole trust.
Right. Okay, sir, I thank you for your time.
Okay, let's go to David in St. Pete.
Hi, Joe, I have a quick question for you.
Sure.
I have a brokerage account with 100% of it going to a charity, and I want to know, for purposes of calculating the fees that the attorney and the personal representative would be able to receive, is that brokerage account value excluded?
No, sir. It's excluded because it goes to a charity?
Well, the brokerage account has a beneficiary of 100% to the charity.
Okay. So it's not in your estate, not in your trust. It just has a beneficiary named on the account.
Yeah, it's in my name now with a beneficiary 100% a charity.
Well, generally, I would say you ask the attorney to give you a fee agreement on the being the trustee and personal representative, and just clarify that money that's not in the estate or trust is not included in any fee agreement. It just goes directly to the beneficiary.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Let's go to another Tim in Tampa.
Hey, good morning, Joe. Appreciate the show.
Hey, Tim.
68, I have a trust I got through Dennis and you guys, which I'm very grateful for. Peace of mind. I have a Fidelity account with, I guess, substantial amount, but I currently do all the buying and selling myself now, but in my absence after my death, my wife had a stroke. She's not going to be able to do anything with it. My kids, I don't think, are qualified to be able to do anything with it. I'd like to keep it going on. I know it has to be disbursed, I think, within 10 years. But currently,
so that's a retirement account? It's a retirement account?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I currently get about $13,000 a year just in dividends. And I wanted to keep that going on as long as possible, even after I'm gone, so I don't immediately have to wipe out the trust to pay everybody. Do I?
Well, okay, so you're talking about upon the second death between you and your wife?
Yes.
Okay, so it depends on the language in your trust. Is a retirement account the beneficiary of the trust or just to the kids directly?
Just to the kids directly.
Okay, so that would happen by itself, regardless of what your will and trust say. Does your trust language do a stretch of the assets to the kids, or is it to just do them outright?
Well, outright, I believe. What I need to do is just call and get another session with you guys to go over it. But
yeah, that would be best. That would be best.
Yeah.
But it sounds like to me
I want to be able to milk the money while I can for them, and then have somebody who is knowledgeable then at that time be able to sell off the stocks, things of that nature. Is that best to have an attorney to do that, or a financial advisor do that, let's say with Fidelity? You know, what is there a cost difference? I know it varies. Well, generally, I think you say it's around 1% normally.
Yes, sir. But your language in the trust would have to say you stretch out the distribution to your heirs. If it's just outright, then there is no management of the money. It's just pay the bills, do the taxes, and make the distribution. If you want the trust to go on for a number of years, 5 or 10 years after you die, then you need probably an independent trustee to manage it for the children. That could be an attorney or Fidelity or a bank or whoever you want to choose as a trustee. The retirement account, since they're direct beneficiaries, they're just going to get that each individually, get their share and do what they want to with it. They could take it within 10 years or they could take it right away and pay tax on it all. So yeah, I think a sit down meeting would be good with you to discuss your plan and see what changes you want to make, if any.
All right. Now, originally I had Dennis do the setup. I would rather have you if possible. Is that?
Yeah, you could call and make an appointment with me. Sure.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Joe. Keep up the good work.
All right. Thank you. All right, you're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. We might have time for one more call. Phone lines are open right now. You have a toll-free number, 800-969-9352. If you'd like to call the office for an appointment, I do multiple offices in Pinellas and Polk County. We have offices in several in Pasco as well. We have offices in Lakewood Ranch. We have offices in Sun City Center, Lakeland, Davenport. We have offices in Claremont, Leesburg, the Villages. Several offices, and we have offices also all the way up in Jacksonville. We don't charge anything for the first appointment to go talk in or to review documents. We have flat fees on all the documents we prepare. They're all on our website, attypip.com. If you want to make an appointment, you can send me an email or call our number, the email address. If you send me an email telling me you want to make an appointment, we'll have someone from the office call you to get that set up. The toll-free number to call is 800 1-800-226-3529. 1-800-226-3529. If you want to email me, you can email me at Joe, J-O-E, at attypipe.com. If you want our poster sheet or a link to our Zoom seminars on estate planning, trust, probate, gun trust, asset protection, send me an email to Joe, J-O-E, at attypipe.com. Hey, Reggie, if you get Mark's number from Wesley Chapel and send me a text, I'll call Mark here in a few minutes. He's waiting on hold there, but the show is ending as you can hear the music come up. So have a great, great Sunday, and we'll be back next week at 6 o'clock and 8 o'clock next Sunday on 970 WFLA.